بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 52nd session reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. The explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. Tonight we're going to be looking at hadith number 46 from the additional hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Rahimahullah. But before doing so, we want to look back at the study guide for lecture number 51 from last week to look at some of the topics, just to review quickly some of the topics that we covered last week.
هل عندك نسخة زيادة العربية؟ هل عندك نسخة؟
There's a brother who needs one.
Okay, just one.
Just one. جزاك الله خير. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 45. What is the main topic or subject of hadith number 45? نعم تفضل. Before the narrator, the subject, topic.
Prohibition about what you can sell, what you can't sell.
The prohibition of selling something that Allah has made haram. Naam. Yani, this is the core topic from last week's session, that is the prohibition of selling something that Allah has forbidden. Naam. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of the hadith? And the muhaddith, in whose collection this hadith is found. Jazakallah khair. The rawi of the hadith and the collection where it's found. Naam. Who's the rawi? Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. And the collection in which it's found? Hadith is collected by Abu Bakr?
Muttafaqun
alayh. Yani al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumullah. The third question, when did the narrator say he heard this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and where? Naam. The conquest of Mecca.
And he was in Mecca.
And he was in Mecca. And can somebody else tell me, the conquest of Mecca took place in what year?
Am Fat.
Naam.
Eighth year
of the Hijra. Naam. Question number four. What does the expression al-Khaba'ith refer to, and why was it given this name? Muhammad. Al-Khamar, yani it refers to Al-Khamar, yani intoxicants. And why was it given the name? What does the meaning of al-Khaba'ith anyway? What is the meaning of that? The mother of all evil. Naam. And the mother of all evil, the source of all evil. So why was Khamar given this name, al-Khaba'ith? Naam.
Because it clouds your judgment and it leads to other sins.
Because it clouds your judgment, it leads to other sins. Naam. Definitely, it attracts a person to every kind of evil and causes them to fall into every type of sin. And for this reason, Khamr was given this description. Question number five. What is Al-Mayta? And what is the exception to the Tahrim, the prohibition in this hadith as it relates to Al-Mayta? What is Al-Mayta? And what is the exception to this prohibition? Let's give somebody else a chance, mashallah. You sitting right in front of me, you gotta be somebody else. Look back a little bit. Naam, faddle.
Al-Mayta is a dead animal? A dead animal?
Dies by itself?
Otherwise it's allowed to eat.
So, meaning that, let me interpret what you just said. Yani, it's an animal that dies by itself, but otherwise, if it had not died by itself, if it was slaughtered properly, it's permissible to eat. Okay, an animal that's originally permissible to eat, but it's not permissible because it hasn't been slaughtered. Now, what's the second part of the question? Now,
the exception to that is fish and locusts.
The exception, okay. That's an exception to eating, yani al-maita, now. Tayyib. That's an exception to eating al-maita. Maybe the question is not crystal clear. Naam. Where is Salahuddin? Let's see, man.
Okay, so what was intended by the question, although that's correct what you said, what was intended by the question, what is al-mayta, and what is the exception to the prohibition of eating the animal that dies by itself? Now.
Unless it's necessary.
And, unless it's necessary. Yani, necessity. Yani, it's prohibited to eat this animal that dies by itself. An exception to that prohibition from eating it is that it would be permissible in the case of necessity, where a person would die and there was nothing else to eat. Now, question number 6 mentioned the qa'idah, the principle which states that every animal that is prohibited to eat. What's the rest of what the sheikh said in this particular? And he mentioned in reference to the khanziyah, and he said that it's not permissible to eat it, and it's not permissible to sell it. And then he said, every animal that is prohibited from eating, then what about it? It is the same whether or not it is what or what. Now, somebody? The animal that's prohibited to eat, like khanziyah, it's the same if you... Fadl, you want to answer? Yes, Fadl.
Regardless, it's dead or alive?
Regardless to whether or not it died by itself, or if it was slaughtered properly. In other words, slaughtering it properly, cutting the throat and draining the blood and mentioning the name of Allah, doesn't make it permissible if it is an animal that is yani, unlawful to eat. Aslan, it's unlawful to eat. So it doesn't matter if you slaughter it or it dies by itself, it's not permissible. Now, question number 7, why is it permissible to benefit from the asnam, the idols, after they have been destroyed and broken into pieces? Fadl. Thank you, mashallah. I was looking here, but I meant to look in the back. Abdul Wali, mashallah. This is a problem, brother. I got to put you on the side somewhere. Abdul Wali, now.
Because it's broken. It's no longer an idol.
Once it's broken to pieces and smashed up, it's just pieces of stone. So it's no longer something that is going to be worshipped. And therefore, it's permissible to use it to build a wall or to do something with it, yani, otherwise. Question number 8. Discuss briefly the two opinions of the scholars concerning the Prophet ﷺ's statement, no, it is haram. Naam, Abu Bakr.
Okay, it's two opinions. The first opinion is that no, it is haram to sell it.
And the second, okay, so the first opinion,
yes,
is that the Prophet said la huwa haram, meaning no, you can't sell it.
Yes.
Because it's haram, and that which Allah has prohibited, it's prohibited to sell it. Now, the second opinion?
The opinion is that no, you can't use it to benefit from it.
The second opinion is al-intifa, that you can't use it to benefit from it in any kind of way. The first opinion is the opinion of who? Al-Imam al-Shafi and some other scholars who follow him in that opinion. And the second opinion?
Majority.
Huh?
Majority.
Okay. Most of the scholars held the second opinion. The last question mentioned 4 of the 6 fawaid or benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 4 of the benefits that the author mentioned concerning this hadith. Number 1. Naam.
Clarification
of what? Of the prohibition of these 4 things. Point, another point. 2.
Clarification from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this prohibition in Mecca.
Can you, the fact that the... The fact that the Prophet ﷺ made the clarification of the prohibition of this thing in Mecca in that time, what was the significance of that?
So that those who have recently accepted entered into Islam will test him to refrain from dealing with this.
So those people who had recently entered into Islam, who were new Muslims, to inform them so that they would hasten to leave off, to refrain from benefiting from those things that are yani, forbidden. Third point. Now,
if Allah SWT has made something haram to it, you cannot benefit from it. The benefit is also haram.
Naam. Yani, when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has made something haram, then it's haram to sell it, and it's haram to take the money that's received from it. Naam. And this is very, very important, because sometimes Muslims who are desirous of making money by any means necessary will sell to other people that which they wouldn't use themselves. But they'll sell it to other people. And it's not permissible to sell that which Allah made haram. And it's not permissible to take yani, the money that is given for it. Fourth point. Fourth, fifth, and sixth point.
Whatever Allah has made haram, there are no tricks that will make it halal.
Okay, so yani, when Allah has made something, and when He's made something haram, you can't yani make it lawful by using some trickery or some deception. طيب, the prohibition of using tricks or deception to make that which is forbidden to make it permissible. Naam. Fifth point. Naam.
Regarding the Jews, that don't be like them, where they used to make something which Allah made haram lawful through trickery.
Okay, that's the sixth point, but it's no problem, it's good. The sixth point is the warning. Warning the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from falling into that which the Jews fell into of, and using trickery to make things unlawful lawful. And the point before that the Shaykh mentioned, Naam, Talib.
The indication that the Yahud are blameworthy.
From this hadith we understand that the Yahud are blameworthy for using these tricks as means to make something unlawful lawful. Naam. So these are some of the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, we're looking at hadith number 46. This is the fourth hadith from the hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. And this hadith is the hadith on the authority An Abi Burdata. An Abihi. Abi Musa Al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. Yani on the authority of Abu Burda. From his father, yani his father was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'athahu ila al-Yemen, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missioned him, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, sent him on a mission to Yemen. فَسَأَلَهُ an ashribatin tusna'u biha. So he, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about ashriba, yani some drinks, things that people were drinking that were yani made there, yani in Yemen. Drinks that were not known to the people of Medina. It was something that they were doing in Yemen. فَقَالَ وَمَا هِيَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, and so what are they? What are these drinks? Yani that you are asking about specifically. Give some clarification. قَالَ الْبِتَعُ وَالْمِزْرُ. Yani he said, they are al-bita'u and al-mizru. Here in the narration of the hadith, there's a statement, a question interjected here, and it's a statement or a question that was asked, not by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, rather was asked to his son, who's narrating the hadith from him. They asked his son when he was narrating this hadith, وَقِيلَ لِعَبِي بُرْدَ مَا الْبِتَعُ. What is this thing called al-bita'u? قَالَ نَبِيذُ الْعَصَلِ وَالْمِزْرُ نَبِيذُ الشَّعِيرِ. So Abu Burda, when he was narrating the hadith, he was asked, so what are these two things, al-bita'u, al-mizru? Yani these are words that they don't give any indication of what they are. They're not words that describe what you're talking about. So they asked him, so what are these things? And he said that al-bita'u, it is nabidh al-asl, asl. Yani it is a drink that the people made from honey, from putting honey in water and letting it sit for some time until the water, yani took on, acquired the taste of the sweetness of the honey. And al-mizru, he said, is nabidh al-sha'ir. It is a drink also that was made from putting sha'ir, barley, in the water and letting it sit for some amount of time until the taste of the barley, yani it was acquired by the water, and it was a drink that the people drank. And when I say a drink, I don't mean like the Kafirs say, give me a drink. And they're talking about alcohol. It was a drink that people drank. Yani like you drink a glass of orange juice or apple juice or whatever. Now, فَقَالَ yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu told him that he's talking about these drinks called al-bita'u and al-mizru, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu muskir haramun, kharajahu al-Bukhari." Yani everything that intoxicates is haram. Kullu muskir haramun. Everything that intoxicates is haram. And this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. And this hadith has also been narrated by Al-Imam Muslim with various wordings that are similar to this. The Shaykh didn't mention them here, but there are other narrations of this hadith that contain the same basic meaning in the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim. The Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, he has divided his explanation of this hadith into 3 points. So some of these points are a little bit, not lengthy, but any detailed. And he has brought together a number of different points under each of those points. The third point is the last point. It's always the benefits from the hadith. So basically his explanation of the hadith is divided into two points. The first point has several yani things that he discussed in it, and the second point as well. So I want to look at the first point under yani four subtitles. Four subtitles. So the first thing that he talks about in point number one is al-bit'u and al-mizru. And he talks about the fact that the ruling concerning the permissibility or lack of it concerning these things is based upon a specific matter, and that is whether or not it intoxicates. The second point he talks about, and this is all part of point number one, he talks about things being given names. And the point is that it doesn't matter what it is named. If it intoxicates, it's haram. The third point that he talks about is the fact that there was a time early on that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited drinks that were made in certain types of containers, vessels. And later on, he abrogated that and basically said, you can make your drinks in any vessel that you like, but do not drink that which intoxicates. Yani the point is what? Doesn't matter what vessel it's in. The vessel doesn't make it lawful or unlawful. What makes it unlawful or unlawful is the point of it being an intoxicant. And the last point that he makes is that it doesn't matter what form it came in. Yani that which intoxicates is haram, no matter what form it came in. If it came as a crystal, cocaine, or it came as a leaf, reefer, marijuana, or it came as a drink, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever intoxicates is haram. And in the old days, before a lot of you young people were around, probably wasn't living then, they used to say, the Muslims in America used to say, this is marijuana. This is not alcohol. Yani alcohol is prohibited, not marijuana. Marijuana is natural, it's from the earth. Believe it or not, people are still saying that today. But the Prophet ﷺ said, it doesn't matter what form it came in, whatever intoxicates haram. These are the 4 points that the Shaykh mentions under point number one. So I'm going to read what he said in point number one, but I just want you to kind of have some clarity so that you can see that he's making a number of several different points, and all of them go back to what? The rule is that whatever intoxicates is haram. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying point number one, مِنَ الْأَشْرِبَةَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ تُسْتَعْمَلْ فِي الْيَمِنِ عندما بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبا موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه إليه البتع وهو النبيذ الأصل والمزر وهو نبيذ الشعير. That from amongst the drinks which the people were using in Yemen at the time when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent, missioned Abu Musa al-Ashari رضي الله عنه to Yemen, there was البتع, and that is the drink that's made from honey. And there was mizru, and that is the drink, the nabiz, that's made from barley. Here I want to note that I remember some years ago, there was a very bad translation from Beirut of Sahih Muslim. And actually the way they translated this hadith and the hadith related to this topic is that they said, they translated nabiz as wine. And they said the Prophet, first he allowed the wine. And then if it was kept for so many days, then he prohibited it. And he never allowed wine. He allowed nabith, which is a drink. That's not wine, aslan. But it can become fermented and therefore become an intoxicant. And so this is one of the clear indications of the danger of people speaking about the deen of Allah without knowledge, especially in translating books, and they don't know the meaning of the words that they're translating. That's an extremely dangerous affair that people should be careful from. So the Shaykh, he says that the Prophet ﷺ sent Abu Musa al-Ashari to Yemen, and he asked about these two drinks. the one that's made from honey and the one that's made from barley. And then he said that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about these two drinks. He asked them about these two drinks. فَأَجَابَهُ بِجَوَابٍ جَامِعٍ يَشْمَلُهُمَا وَيَشْمَلُ غَيْرَهُمَا. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him with an answer that was comprehensive. That was an answer that included these two drinks that he asked about and also included other drinks besides them. He answered them with an answer that was comprehensive, that not only answered the question about those drinks, but about any drinks that people are going to come up with and ask about later. How did he answer the question? He said, فَقَالَ كُلُّ مُسْكِرْ حَرَامٌ. Everything that intoxicates is haram. فَأَنَاطَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم التحريم بالإسكار. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَا أَسْكَرَ مِنَ الْأَشْرِبَةِ حَرَامٌ وَمَا لَمْ يُسْكِرْ فَإِنُّهُ حَلَالٌ. So the Prophet ﷺ made as a condition, he made the ruling of the prohibition of any drink being haram, he made it the basis of it or the condition for it, that it has to be intoxicating. Yani the condition for the prohibition of a drink, yani is that that drink is intoxicating. So this indicated to us that whatever causes intoxication, then it is forbidden. And whatever doesn't cause intoxication, then it is permissible. The next point that the Shaykh talks about is, and this is part of point number one, he talks about, things being given names. We're talking about drinks here, but it could be anything. Yani it could be riba. And they call it fawaid. Yani instead of calling it riba, they say it's benefits. And it's riba, it's haram. And so they give names to things to try to soften it up, or to deceive people, or to trick people, by giving a name, and the name, whatever the name is, it doesn't matter. Yani what's haram, the reality of the thing is what counts, not what is named. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told us that whatever intoxicates is haram. It's reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, yani the Shaykh is mentioning this hadith in Sahih Al-Bukhari, 5598, on Abi Juwayriya, he said, سألت ابن عباس عن الباذق. And in some of the books it's vowel as باذق, but it seems as though Sheikh Abdul Razak he pronounced it as الباذق. He said he asked, yani the narrator of this report, he said, I asked Ibn Abbas about الباذق. فقال سبق محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الباذق فما أسكر فهو حرام. قال الشراب الحلال الطيب. قال وليس بعد الحلال الطيب إلا الحرام الخبيث. يعني Abu Juwayriya, he said, I asked Ibn Abbas about a drink that was known as al-Badhiq. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma responded to him saying that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has preceded al-Badhiq. Yani he already told us the ruling concerning these things before there was anything that they had named al-Badhiq. He already gave us the ruling concerning it when he said that whatever intoxicates is haram. So that thing, whatever name you give to it, it doesn't matter. Yani al-Badhiq, that was a name that they gave to an alcoholic drink. Yani now they call it beer, wine, I don't know, vodka, whatever the names that they call this stuff, right? Different names, but it's all what? Intoxicant. And it's all haram. So he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has already preceded this new name that you're giving to an intoxicant by giving a ruling concerning that which intoxicates. Whatever intoxicates is haram. It is said here, qala al-sharab al-halal al-tayyib, yani that the drink that is acceptable is that which is halal and tayyib, that is lawful and it is good or wholesome. And then he said, لَيْسَ بَعْدُ حَلَالَ الطَّيِّبْ إِلَّا الْحَرَامُ الْخَبِيثِ. And there's nothing after the halal and tayyib except the haram and the khabith. And there's nothing after that which is lawful and good and wholesome except that which is unlawful and that is filthy. وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ إِبْنِ سِيدَ فِي الْمُحْكَمْ أَنَّ الْبَاذِقْ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ الْخَمَرِ. Then he says that one of the scholars, Ibn Sida, he says in the book Al-Muhkam that this name Al-Badhiq, it is one of the names of Al-Khamr. It's one of the names of Al-Khamr. The next point that the Sheikh makes, and this is all still for part of point number one, he says, وَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي أَوَلَ الْأَمْرَ حَرَّمَ الْإِنْتِبَاذ فِي الْأَوْعِيَّةِ مُؤَيِّنَةِ كَمَا جَاءَ ذَلِكَ فِي حَدِيثِ وَفْدْ عَبْدُ الْقَيْسِ. In this hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, he says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the beginning, he had made it prohibited for people to make these drinks in certain containers or certain types of vessels. And this is mentioned in the hadith of the delegation of Abdul Qais, that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, in which yani, they came to the Prophet ﷺ from a place, and he mentioned yani, certain types of containers. He said they shouldn't make drinks in those containers. Yani, it's prohibited to do so. He said, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ جَاءَ عَنْهُ مَا يَنْسِقُ ذَلِكَ فِي حَدِيثِ Burayda ibn Husayb radiallahu anhu. And then there came from the Prophet ﷺ that which abrogated that prohibition of making drinks in certain types of containers in the hadith of Burayda ibn Husayb radiallahu anhu, where he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nahaytukum an ziyaratul kubur fazuruha. Yani, I had originally prohibited you from visiting the graves, but now visit them. Yani, it's permissible to visit them. He said, وَنَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ لُحُومَ الْأَضَاحِ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثَ, yani 3 days, فَأَمْسِكُوا مَا بَدَى لَكُمْ. And I had prohibited you, yani in the past, of from keeping yani the meat from the slaughtered animals on the day of Eid al-Adha for more than 3 days. Meaning people, when they slaughter the animals, they can keep enough meat that they're going to eat for the next 3 days, the rest of it they should give away. And some of the scholars said the reason for that was because of the need of the people. The Prophet ﷺ didn't want people to hold on to that meat. He wanted them to share it, to give it out. So he said, yani, you can only keep the meat that you can eat in 3 days. He said, but now, yani, keep it for as long as you like. Then he also abrogated that ruling. Then he said, نَحَيْتُكُمْ عَنَ النَّبِيذِ إِلَّا فِي السِّقَاءِ فَاشْرَبُوا فِي الْأَسْقِيَةِ كُلِّهَا وَلَا تَشْرَبُوا مُسْكِرًا. He said, I also prohibited you from al-nabidh, yani except in the water skins. And some of the scholars said the reason for this was because the water skin kept that drink cool, which prevented it from quickly becoming an intoxicant. He said, I prohibited you from yani making these drinks, nabidh, except in the water skins. He said, but now you may drink them from any vessel, it doesn't matter, but do not drink that which is intoxicating. So again, here the Shaykh is pointing out what? That there was a time when there was some consideration to the container or the vessel that the drink was made in, and now the Prophet ﷺ said, the bottom line, yani the real principle, the controlling factor, is not what container is made in, not what name it's given, but rather, if it intoxicates. That's really the bottom line. The Shaykh, he says here, after mentioning this narration, finally, the final point of point number one, he says, And this is yani here where the Shaykh is giving a third point, yani further reaffirming the reality that the basis of the prohibition of these drinks is because they intoxicate. That is the illa, that's the sabab, that's the reason why they are prohibited, and this is what we should be looking at. He says, وَكُلُّ مَا أَسْكَرَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. Everything that intoxicates is haram, سَوَاءً كَانَ شَرَابًا أَوْ طَعَامًا. It doesn't matter if it is a drink or if it is a food. Doesn't matter if it's something that you drink or something that you eat. If it intoxicates, it's haram. وَسَوَاءً كَانَ سَائِلًا أَوْ جَامِدًا. It doesn't matter if it's a liquid or if it's a solid. أَوْ دَقِيقًا أَوْ وَرَقًا. It doesn't matter if it's a powder or if it's a leaf from a tree, for example, or a plant, or other than that. فَإِنَّ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ دَاخِلٌ تَحْتَ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ كُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ حرام. Then all of these things, whatever form it came in, it doesn't matter the form that it came in. What matters is if it intoxicates. If it intoxicates, it comes under the ruling, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu muskir haram. Everything that intoxicates, whatever form it came in, whatever container it was made in, whatever name is given to it, everything that intoxicates is haram. The second point here, the Shaykh goes to the second point, and also he makes several points under this second point. the first point is he briefly explains, he gives the definition of khamr, and then he talks about the principle of sad al-dhariyah, and then he talks about the madhab the Hanafi madhab, and he concerning this particular topic, and then finally he mentions an exception. So he says first, الخمر ما خامر العقل وغطاه, يعني that خمر is that which clouds the mind, the intellect, or covers it. يعني it prevents the person from thinking clearly. فكل ما كان كذلك داخل تحت قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل مسكر حرام. So everything that is like that, it affects the mind, it affects the person's ability to think clearly and to make proper judgments and to distinguish between right and wrong and to have normal behavior, whatever does that to the human being, he said, then it comes under the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every intoxicant is haram. Then the Shaykh says, وكل شيء أسكر كثيره فقليله حرام. Yani everything that if you take it in a large amount, it causes intoxication, then even a small amount is also prohibited. He says, وَذَلِكَ سَدًّا لِلذَّرِيَّةِ الْمُوْسِلَ إِلَى الْمُسْكِرِ. And this is to close, to block the opening that leads to the intoxicants. Yani that a person who drinks something that in a small amount, it wouldn't intoxicate them. But if the door is left open for that, maybe they will drink more. And more until they would become intoxicated. So the door is closed. And this is the principle of sad lidhariya. And that means that there are certain things which are originally yani permissible. But they might be the stepping stone that leads the person to something that is not permissible. And therefore the door is closed for that, in order to protect people from falling into that which is haram. So the Shaykh says, the reason why yani that which intoxicates in a large amount is also prohibited, even in a small amount, it's prohibited. He said this is to close the way, to close the opening that leads to yani the actual intoxicants or the thing that would intoxicate. And he said it doesn't matter whether it is yani that intoxicant is made from grapes or it's made from other than grapes. And here he's alluding to the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, in which he makes some kind of distinction between intoxicants that are made from grapes and intoxicants that are made from other than grapes. And so the Shaykh alludes to this here, he mentions it briefly, and then he doesn't go into a lot of detail, but inshallah, hopefully after we finish reading his notes, we'll go to some other explanation that explains a little bit more detail. Shaykh says here, doesn't matter if it's from grapes or other than grapes. And it has been reported from some of the ulama of Al-Kufa, yani the scholars who from the Hanafi madhab, that al-qalil alladhi la yuskir idha lam yakun min al-'inab fashurbuhu sa'iz. Yani that the intoxicant, that if you drink a small amount of it, doesn't intoxicate you, if it's not from grapes, it's permissible to drink. If it's not from grapes. Yani the madhab, the Hanafi madhab, says that they distinguish between the intoxicant that's made from grapes or that's made from raisins or honey or other than that. And they said that if the intoxicant is not made from grapes, from something else, if a small amount of it doesn't intoxicate you, you can drink it. You can drink it. But a small amount of intoxicant that came from grapes, even though that small amount wouldn't intoxicate you, you can't drink it. That's the distinction that they are making. The Shaykh is saying here, هذا غير صحيح. This is not correct. لأنه ثبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث جابر وغيره رضي الله عنهم أجمعين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما أسكر كثيره فقليله حرام. أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي وابن ماجه. He said that this is incorrect, and that's because it is confirmed from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما and others besides him, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ما أسكر كثيره, yani whatever would cause a person to become intoxicated, if he consumed a lot of it, فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَام, then even a little bit of it that wouldn't intoxicate him, even a little bit of it is haram. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that whatever would cause a person to become intoxicated, if they consumed a large amount of it, that even the small amount that wouldn't intoxicate them is also haram. And this hadith is authentic, is reported in the Sunan Abu Dawud, the Sunan al-Tirmidhi, من سنن ابن ماجه. وهذا اللفظ عام يشمل كل مسكر سواء كان من العنب أو غيرها، فلا يجوز تعاطي كل مسكر إلا إذا كان شيئا يسيرا لدفع الغصة. So the Shaykh says here that this expression in this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ is general, and it includes everything that intoxicates. Yani there's no distinction here between grapes or not grapes. Whatever would intoxicate in a large amount, then even a small amount of it is prohibited, whether it's from grapes or other than that. This hadith is general. It includes everything that intoxicates, whether it's from grapes or other than that. Therefore, he said, it is not permissible for a person to engage in those things, that in anything that intoxicates. Except, he said, except if it is a very small amount, yani that a person might drink in order to save themselves if they were choking. If they were choking from something that would cause them to cut off their yani ability to breathe, then they may yani try to protect yourself from harm by doing so. The last thing that the Shaykh makes, and this is point number three, it is the benefits from this hadith. He mentions three benefits. I'm going to add just one. He says, from those things that the benefits from this hadith, he says, number one, حرص الصحابة رضي الله عنهم على معرفة الأحكام الشرعية. Yani the diligence, the eagerness of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ to know about the Sharia rulings, yani the Islamic laws. Yani they were very eager to know about these things. And this hadith is an example of that, in that they asked. Yani if they didn't know if something was lawful or not, they would ask, because they want to know what Allah has legislated, what He has made lawful and what He has prohibited, what He's pleased with and what He's displeased with. So they used to ask. And this is an example. This is an example for the Muslims. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ are the model community for us. You don't need to. That the companions of the Prophet radiallahu ajma'in, that they are an example for us. So the same way they used to ask, so that they would know what they can do and what they can't do, what Allah will be pleasing and what He will not be pleasing, we should do the same thing. And I am, yani, it is sad. I feel, yani, that it is unfortunate for us that today, with a few exceptions, not many people ask questions. Not many people ask questions. And if there are lots of things happening in our lives, and we just don't ask. We don't know and we don't ask. And this is a problem. And we need to ask questions about real things in our lives that we're dealing with if we don't know, or if we're not sure about something. We need to ask questions. And you don't get the idea of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the people who are destroyed from asking too many questions. And he's asking questions that are insignificant, or asking questions that are irrelevant, or asking questions that don't have any meaning. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about asking questions about Allah's deen, what you need to know. You need to be asking questions. Now, the second point is kamal al-sharia wa ishtimaluha ala qawaid kulliya ama kama jaa fi hadha al-hadith. Yani that also in this hadith is an indication of the perfection of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The perfection of His laws and legislations, and that the Sharia is composed of general, all-inclusive qawaid, principles that are general and all-inclusive, that deal with lots of things. And this also, and he shows the perfection and the beauty of the Sharia of Allah, and this is indicated in this hadith, yani in that the Prophet ﷺ gave us a qaida, a principle that is general and it's all-inclusive. And everything that intoxicates haram, doesn't matter what form or shape or size or name or how it was manufactured, if it intoxicates, it's all haram. The third point, final point the Shaykh makes is tahrim kullu muskir min ayyi naw'in kana. Yani the prohibition of everything that intoxicates, no matter what type of intoxicant it might be. And then for the last couple of sessions, since we've been reading the extra hadith of Ibn Rajab and most of the scholars, yani who explained the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, most of them, yani didn't go beyond the 42 hadith that Imam Nawawi collected in his book. So we have been reading from as well, yani, from the explanation of the 50 hadith, yani including the hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, as it was explained by Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Salih Al-Dahish. And he's a professor, yani a PhD, holds a professor at the Islamic University in Qasim, and he is a specialist in Usul al-Din and in Tafsir. And he is one of the three students of Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, who after the Shaykh passed, who took up his responsibility of teaching in the masjid where he was teaching the people. So the Shaykh, he has given also explanation of this hadith, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I'm not going to read all of what he said, but I'm going to read some of it in whatever time that we have. It looks like we have any good amount of time. He mentions the hadith, and that is reported by Al-Bukhari, and he mentions some other matters related to some difference of opinion about the name of the narrator, what was his name, what was his kunya, and so on and so forth. We're going to get right to the core of the matter. And the Shaykh, like I have identified like the explanation that he has given here into 9 points. So maybe I'm not going to read all of those 9 points, but I'm going to read as much of it as I can. The first point that he starts with, which I think is, and it's a side point. It's not related to the core of the matter, but it's very important for us. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was asked about drinks that were being made in Yemen, and they were not known to the people of Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from the person who was asking him, "Wama hiya?" Yani, so what exactly are these drinks that you're asking about? The Shaykh says, this inquiry, yani asking for clarification, he said, هَذَا هُوَ شَأْنْ الْمُفْتِي أَنَّهُ إِذَا سُئِلَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْهُ أَنْ يَسْتَفْسِيرُ وَيَسْتَوْضِحُ أَكْثَرُ. Yani, if a mufti, if a sheikh, if a scholar is asked a question about something that is not clear, then he's going to ask for clarification. He's going to ask for more clarification so that he understands exactly what he's being asked before he gives an answer. And this is very important. Sometimes we are hasty to answer questions that people ask before we even understand the question. Sometimes the person asks a question, it's not even clear yet, and we want to answer quickly. So be careful that first that we understand what's being asked before we give answers. The second thing that the Shaykh mentions, he says that Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he was asking about al-Bitr and al-Mizr. He said these were two drinks. One of them was named al-Bitr and the other was named al-Mizr. But the names of these drinks didn't clarify. They were not clear as to what they actually were. And so therefore, and his son who narrated the hadith from him, Abu Burda, was asked by someone when he was narrating the hadith, what is this? Yani, what are these two things? Yani, al-Bitr and al-Mizr. And then he clarified what they were. And the Shaykh says here, his statement, Nabith, yani, al-Bitr is Nabith al-Asl. Yani, it is a drink that's made from honey. He said his statement, Nabith is when honey is put into water and it is left there for some time. And then after some time, the water acquires the sweet taste of the honey. So it becomes just like what we today call asir, like a juice. It was a drink that the people used to drink. It wasn't an intoxicant. It was a drink that the people would drink, yani, that was made in this kind of way. It was a sweet drink. And it's called nabith, yani, but the nabith could be from different things. In this case, yani, one of them was nabith, a drink that was made from honey. He said the other drink, al-mizr, he said, it is nabith al-sha'ir, yani, it's the drink that's made from barley. And the same process, the barley is put into the water and it's left there for some specific amount of time that they know how long to leave it there, yani before it begins to ferment and become an intoxicant. And then after that, it takes on, it acquires the taste of the barley, and then they drink it the same way that we drink juice today. So these were two drinks, he said, la haraj fihima, yani there's nothing wrong with them, ma lam yasila ila had al-iskar. Yani these are normal drinks that people drink, and there's nothing wrong with them as long as they didn't reach the stage where they became intoxicating. As long as they didn't reach the stage where they became intoxicating. And that is, the reason why we say that is because the Prophet ﷺ said that everything that intoxicates is haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say this particular drink is halal or haram. Rather, he made the issue, yani that the principle or the point or the guideline here is that everything which intoxicates is haram. So an-nabiz in and of itself is mubah, it's permissible. But what we fear is that over time it may change and it may be transformed into an intoxicant. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yani ja'ala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-hukm manutan bil illah, yani he made the basis yani of the ruling in this, he made a basis for it, yani that there is a cause or reason why the ruling of something being prohibited is established. And this illah, yani this sabab or this cause, it is al-iskar, yani that something becomes intoxicating. So he said that everything which intoxicates is haram. So if these drinks, or other than them, that a person may mention, if it intoxicates, then it's haram, and if it doesn't intoxicate, then it is halal. That's the original ruling. That is, it's permissible, unless yani we have some proof otherwise. The Shaykh, he says here, so from this, the benefit that we get from this is that the khamr that is prohibited is the khamr, is that drink which intoxicates. So as long as we found this illah, this sabab, this cause, this thing present in what is being drank, that it intoxicates, then in that case it's haram. Then the Shaykh mentions the another narration of this hadith that's reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He says, so everything that intoxicates is haram. And this narration is somewhat, yani, summarized. Ikhtisar. He said it is somewhat summarized. But in another narration that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, أن كل مسكر خمر وكل خمر حرام. Yani in a longer narration, the Prophet ﷺ gave further clarification. He said that everything that intoxicates is khamr. Call it whatever name you want to call it. Anything that intoxicates is khamr. And every khamr is haram. Then the Shaykh says, he mentions another hadith, but he says first, yani that this hadith is an asl, yani it's a foundation that we can rely upon in determining that something is, yani intoxicates, that is haram, tahrim al-muskir. And that the basis of this prohibition, this tahrim, is the fact that something intoxicates. Laysat al-musammiyat wa laysat al-awsaf. Yani we are not looking at the names that are given to these drinks. It's not important. We are not looking at the descriptions, how they are described. Al-manat hu al-iskar. Yani the basis, yani the thing that the ruling is dependent upon is that it intoxicates. And this is, he says, a general rule that whatever intoxicates is haram. He said, however, if we add to this, yani lakin yudaf ila hadha al-hadith ma qalahu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil hadith ما أذكر كثيره فقليله حرام والحديث عند أبي داود والترمذي وهو حديث حسن. He said, if we add to this general rule that whatever intoxicates is haram, we may also add to that a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi and others, and it's Hasan. He said, whatever intoxicates in a large amount, then a small amount of it is also haram. And this is a furtherance, yani, of the general rule of everything that intoxicates is haram. The Shaykh is saying here in this hadith, we have some further detail. And the further detail is what? That everything that intoxicates in a large amount, even if it didn't intoxicate in a small amount, is haram. That's a further detail that we didn't understand from the general rule. So the Shaykh says, then it became clear to us that whatever intoxicates is haram. That's the general rule. وَمَا لَمْ يُسْكِرْ فَإِنُّهُ يَنْظُرُ. But if something didn't intoxicate, yani initially, originally, then we don't just stop there, we have to look. We have to look further, because what? Because this hadith says, any whatever intoxicates in a large amount, even in a small amount is also prohibited. So if something didn't intoxicate in a small amount, then we have to be careful. We have to take a look, he said. إن كان كثيره يسكر فإن قليله حرام بمقتضى الحديث الآخر الذي ذكرناه. يعني he said, so if a large amount of this يعني substance intoxicates, then even a small amount of it is forbidden based on what is necessitated by the other hadith which we have just mentioned. And the meaning of that hadith is that there are some drinks which if you were to drink it in a small amount, it wouldn't intoxicate you. And if there are some drinks, if a person drank a small amount, they wouldn't become intoxicated. However, if you were to increase upon that small amount until you drank a large amount, then you would become intoxicated. He said, so, in that case, is the small amount halal or is it haram? He said, we say that it is haram. لِأَنَّ الْعِبْرَ بِالنِّهَايَةِ مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُ حَرَامٌ. يعني what we are looking at here, what we are concerned about, يعني is in the end. يعني what's going to be the end result? So if something intoxicates in a large amount, then even the small amount of it is also forbidden. Okay, the Shaykh now, he goes to another issue, and then he mentions some benefits from this hadith. He says, so, in conclusion, we have come to know that المحرم هو ما أسكر. يعني what is forbidden is that which intoxicates. But if it didn't initially intoxicate, then we take another look. So if it intoxicates in a large amount, then a small amount is also haram. Otherwise, if it doesn't intoxicate in a large amount, then it's not haram. From this, based upon this, he said, we come to know what is the answer to that which has been problematic for some of the people. And that is that there are some drinks which it is said إِنَّ فِيهَا نِسْبَ مِنَ الْمُسْكِرِ. And if there are some drinks, it has been said about them that there is some percentage, some small percentage of that which intoxicates. Some drinks that contain some small percentage of that which intoxicates. It is said, هذه النسبة لو أكثرت من هذا الشراب هل تسكر هل يذهب عقلك يقولون لا يذهب عقلك إذن لا يعتبر مسكرا. يعني that this amount, if the amount in this drink, that even if a person drank a large amount of it, would it intoxicate them? Would it cause them to lose their mind? And if the answer is no, it would not affect their mind, then it's not considered an intoxicant. This is important to understand. Sheikh is saying here what? That if there's a drink that has some small amount of that which could intoxicate, but even if a person drank a large amount of it, it wouldn't intoxicate them. It would not affect their thinking, their brain, their mind. It wouldn't affect them. He said, then this is not considered to be an intoxicant. This is not considered to be an intoxicant. There are some drinks which contain in them a small percentage of alcohol, he said. فيها نسبة من alcohol نسبة مستحلكة ضاعئة في هذا الشراب فإنك لو تشرب تربة من هذا الشراب ما أثر عليك. إذن هذه النسبة تبين أنها لا اعتبار لها نسبة مستحلكة غير داخلة في المسكر وغير داخلة في ما أسكر كثيره فقليل حرام. يعني the Shaykh is saying, so there are some drinks that have some small amount of alcohol in it. يعني a small amount is such a small amount that it's consumed, it's lost in that drink. It's lost in that drink. He said, so if a person were to even drink a large amount of this drink, it wouldn't affect them at all. This percentage, it becomes clear then that it doesn't count. And it doesn't make this thing an intoxicant. It is, yani, a percentage that is lost, that's consumed due to a small amount. Therefore, it doesn't come under the ruling of that which intoxicates is haram, nor does it come under the ruling of that which, if it intoxicates in a large amount, it's also prohibited in a small amount. It doesn't come under either one of them. And then the Shaykh says, in this hadith there are some benefits. This is where he, yani, comes to the end of his discussion. He said, in this hadith there are some benefits. And from the benefits of this hadith, he said, أَنَّ الْحُكْمَ يَدُورُ مَا لَعِلَّهِ يعني الْحُكْمَ يَدُورُ مَا عِلَّتِهِ وُجُودًا وَعَدَمًا. Yani that the hukm concerning something revolves around its illah, the cause of the ruling. If that cause is present, then the ruling is established. If that cause is absent, then the ruling is not established. Okay, this is a very important principle. الحكم يدور مع علته وجودا وعدما. Yani that the ruling concerning something, it goes and comes with that thing that the ruling is based upon. If that thing is present, the ruling is established, and if it's not present, then the ruling is not established. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما ربط الحكم بالمسميات بل ربطها بالعلة وهي الإسكار. And in reference to this particular issue, he said that is because the Prophet ﷺ didn't connect, he didn't tie, he didn't make the ruling dependent upon certain names that a thing is named with. Rather, he made the ruling based upon, dependent upon, connected to the illah, the cause or the reason for the ruling, and that is that it intoxicates. The second point he said, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ الْمُسْكِرْ لَا يُشْتَرَتْ فِيهِ نَوْ دُونَ غَيْرُ. Yani that which is an intoxicant, there's no condition that it has to be a certain type of substance to the exclusion of others. Yani that grapes may intoxicate, and yani the drink made from honey is not considered an intoxicant. It doesn't matter what type of yani substance it is, there's no condition that it has to be some substance to the exclusion of others. Rather, what matters is if it intoxicates. So if something is made from honey and it intoxicates, then it's khamr. And if it is made from grapes and it intoxicates, then it is khamr. And if it's made from other than that, from the new things that the people have invented newly now, new drinks or new types of substances that are not drinks. Yani the latest drugs that they have, I don't know what they are. Yani back in the day it was crack cocaine. I guess that was a long time ago, right?
Today is wine cooler.
Allahu Akbar. He works in a school, so he knows. They drink it in your school, right?
They call it different names. They change
it. Now, so the point is here, what? That there's no condition that it has to be from a certain types of substance, but rather the ruling is based upon, it revolves around yani the illa, and that is if it intoxicates or it doesn't. Here the Shaykh makes the last point, and this is in reference to what Shaykh Abdul Muhsin alluded to in his discussion concerning this hadith, yani the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. He said, from this we come to know that the madhab which Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was known for, in that he yani singled out khamr that's from grapes, distinguished it from other intoxicants that's made from other things. He said, la takhsis, there's no yani grapes or special substance to the exclusion of others that this ruling is applicable. Yani rather the ruling is applicable to everything that has the cause or the reason for the ruling. He said this yani ruling concerning grapes being different than other substances that could become intoxicating, he said this ruling is rejected, and the majority of the scholars oppose it. And what is correct is that whatever intoxicates, whether it's from grapes or other than that, then it's considered to be haram. Finally, the Shaykh says, yani it is important to understand the actual position of the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And he said that pay attention to this so that we will understand what actually is the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. To understand correctly what was his madhab. He said many of the students, or some of the students, they think that Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he doesn't consider to be haram anything that intoxicates, if it's like, for example, from honey. Or he doesn't consider as an intoxicant that which is made from barley. And this is not correct. This is not the correct understanding of the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. Rather, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he considers anything that intoxicates to be haram. Everything that intoxicates is haram, whether it's from grapes or other than grapes. But the difference here, in his view, is yani, if a person has a small glass of a drink that's made from honey, and that small amount doesn't intoxicate, then he considers it permissible to drink that. But if the person had that same amount of drink that's made from grapes, and that small amount, in that small amount it doesn't intoxicate, he said you can't drink it, it's prohibited. Yani, this is the distinction between the intoxicant that's made from grapes and other things. It's in reference to that ruling in which the Prophet ﷺ made clear to us that whatever intoxicates in a large amount is prohibited in a small amount. He said that, Imam Abu Hanifa, the Shaykh is saying that his madhab is that that is in reference to grapes. Yani, alcohol that's made from grapes, if a person were to drink a small amount that didn't intoxicate them, but a large amount would, then it's prohibited even the small amount. But other types of drinks, if you were to drink in a small amount, it wouldn't intoxicate you, though in a large amount it would, the small amount is permissible. This is what the Shaykh says. This is actually the correct yani view of the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, yani in his distinguishing between yani the intoxicants that's made from grapes. So other than that, it's in reference to the small amount that a person might drink which wouldn't yani cause intoxication, and it's prohibited if it's from grapes, and it's not prohibited from other than that. This is the end of what we wanted to cover. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Yani, if there's any correction from what we said tonight, you are welcome to correct us before we leave. And if there's any question or any comment, then inshallah we can save it for the sitting. Inshallah we're going to gather after we dismiss. Whoever would like to stay, you may stay. Whoever wants to leave, you're free to leave. At that point, inshallah, we'll take any questions or any comments. Unless there's something, yani, if there's a correction that needs to be made, we should do that before we dismiss. And I said earlier when we met with the brothers for lunch today, we welcome corrections. And it's very important that if we make a mistake due to any not focusing or due to misunderstanding, then it should be corrected. And we don't like feel any way about that. Yani, alhamdulillah, mashallah, it's important that we do that. Alright, so we're going to stop here then. Whoever's able to stay, inshallah, we're going to have some refreshments. And those who have to leave, then yani, may Allah bless you to return home safely. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. It appears as though we have some guests here from not only from New York, but we also have, it looks like we have some guests also from some other places, and we welcome everybody who's with us today. And we are thankful, especially any for those who have come a long distance. I think we have some brothers here who came from very far, even further than New York. But mashallah, the brothers who came from Long Island, and the brothers who came from Brooklyn, and the brothers who came from the Bronx, mashallah. We welcome you, and we're happy always for your visits whenever you're able to come. May Allah bless you and make this as a means of nearness to Him, and that He make it to weigh heavily in your scales, and that He reward you for visiting for the sake of Allah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khaira.